Let me ask a question of you. How many are glad so far that you came? Man, just give God a praise to our worship team. They do a phenomenal job each and every week, and they spend a lot of time preparing their hearts and so that they can help us prepare our hearts to have an encounter with Jesus each and every week. And I hope you have one with him each and every day. And also on your way out, if you get a chance, thank our children's workers. Man, we got great kids, but we've got great children's leaders here at our church that don't just babysit your kids. They're teaching them about Jesus. And so just a great church to be at. And if you're our first-time guest or second-time guest, first-time guest, I'll say welcome. Second-time guest, you know how I like to say it, first time's on you, second time, it's your fault. And so obviously you found something that you wanted to either check it up again or you're maybe looking for a church home, and we'd love to just call you part of this Connect family, especially during this season. And if you are joining us for the first time, we're in this series, this Christmas season, we're calling Christmas Playlist. And we're taking a look at four songs in the Bible that kind of highlight an encounter with Jesus. And this isn't Christmas that, an encounter, remembering what Jesus did for us. Jesus came, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew to be a man, and he knew full good and well he was headed to the cross and to the cruel cross of Calvary. He knew what awaited him in the grave, and yet God raised him from the dead, and love burst through when he came, when he left, and he's going to come back. And that's why we gather each and every week with that hope in mind. In this series we've been talking about, last week we talked about Zechariah's song. If you haven't read that, go back, just camp out in Luke chapter 1. In this Christmas season, if you're looking for things to do with your family, just camp out in Luke chapter 1. Just read a little bit every day together as a family. And it will begin to transform you. And Zechariah was a prophet. Let me just give you a quick recap. He was a prophet, he was a priest that worked in the temple. It was his time to go to the temple, and there an angel encountered him. He encountered the angel, and the angel told Zechariah that you're going to have a son. Now, Zechariah was old, and his wife was old, just like Abraham and Sarai. Or at that time, Abram and Sarai were old. And just like that, and here we see in the New Testament, God says, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. And his first stanza of his song, or first verse of his song, was of negativity, unbelief, not wanting to believe that God could do a miracle in his life. And we see that God shut his mouth for 9 months where he couldn't speak. And God's truth is truth. 9 months later, when Elizabeth gave birth to the forerunner to Jesus, John the Baptist, he opened his mouth. Daddy said, no, his name is going to be John. And then you can read in there about the song. It's an incredible song of praise. Can I just say this in all of this series? I'm going to repeat this several times. When you have a real encounter with Jesus, you're going to have a song in your heart. Amen. And songs in our heart are never to be kept in our heart. Songs are meant to be shared. How many of y'all like music? Man, I love music. And I told you a little bit about myself that you might not know, but, you know, for about 8 or 9 years, starting in middle school all the way to college, I was in band. Now, I was a big guy like I still am, and so they started me off on the baritone. And they graduated me in high school to the marching band. They needed guys that could carry the sousaphone. Now, that's the one with the big bell, and you march with it. And then during symphonic season, I played the sousaphone, or the it was just the tuba. And it was an amazing instrument. And then when I got my scholarship, it was with the flugelhorn, which is a tiny, small valve trombone. What I loved about music is that there are certain things that make music, music. There are certain things that make songs, songs. For example, in music, when we sing those patterns, they come with whole notes, half notes. We have 32nd notes, 16th notes, and they're put in a pattern as to find the rhythm. But to make a song, you have to have several key components. And I want you to know this morning that you and I, each of us, have a song. Every one of us. And in our lives, our life song, it contains at least three of these characteristics of what make a song. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1. And really, we're going to be focused on verses 26 to 55. Now, don't get nervous in this service. We're not going to read all those, okay? We're going to read some of them, and we're going to focus, and we're going to go just really verse by verse in some of the areas to help us understand that God has placed, wants to place a song in your heart to be shared with others. And it is a song of joy. It is a song of praise. It is a song of glory. And it's never meant to be hoarded. Now, in Luke chapter 1, we see the first characteristic of a song. Every song has an introduction. Every single song that you will ever hear on the radio has an introduction. And the introduction of a song found at the beginning, it sets up the whole song. It sets up, it's kind of like the bottom line up front. It sets up the whole song and establishes many of the song's important elements. When we look at Mary's song, today we're talking about the Magnificat. It's what's called the Latin for Mary's song, magnify. As Mary began to magnify God, she in her life song, though, we were going to find that she had an introduction period, time that was going to set up the important elements of what was to come. And we see here the focus of the introduction, is spiritually speaking, it is to enter or to introduce the important elements of the song, and the focus is specifically about God. We sing a lot of songs about a lot of different things, but when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you can't help make God your focus. You can't contemplate the birth of Jesus Christ. You can't look at the empty cross and not get a song in your heart about Jesus. If you have Jesus in your heart, he's going to come out in your life actions and your words and your actions and your deeds. And here we see that Mary's introduction was preparing her for what was yet to come, introducing the key elements of what was about to happen. Here's what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, stop right there. Can you imagine if an angel showed up at your house this afternoon and says, I'm Gabriel. And oh, guess what? And here we're just going to do the cliff notes. You're going to be pregnant. Now, she is engaged to Joseph, her husband soon to be. She has not slept with him. She has not been intimate with him. And she is now being told that she is going to be pregnant. Can you imagine that? An angel tells you. You know, it's kind of like the old comedian, I think it was. It's like, remember about the ark? You know, it's like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. I'm going to be pregnant. And you got to understand the setting. The setting back then was much more difficult for an unwed mother. In fact, in Old Testament times, if someone got pregnant, they could be killed in a non-marital relationship. And here we're finding this young girl is being told by God through his angel Gabriel that she was about to become pregnant with the Son of God. God began to prepare her. And I want you to kind of walk in the introduction. I want you to imagine, and guys, it's harder for us to imagine being pregnant. I always said if I could be pregnant, I would be rich. I'd go on the road. But here's Mary. Just imagine that you're going to be pregnant, and that now you become pregnant. You've had to work this out with your husband and say, man, I didn't sleep with you, but listen, Joseph, I promise you, I never slept with anyone else. And they begin their journey to be counted. She's out to hear. Can you imagine the looks that she got from other people? Can you imagine as people looked at her and aimed their eye on her, they gave her those looks, kind of like Aline was talking about earlier, these looks of some were of disdain and disgust. Some were like, yeah, right, doubt, sure, yeah, you didn't sleep with anybody, uh-huh, sure, right. Other people wouldn't even look at her as their glance went the other way. But God was taking this experience to introduce the rest of her song. The introduction sets up the elements of the song. Virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman. Do you think she felt favored at the first moment? Sometimes, as Pastor Lane was saying earlier, we don't feel like we're worth anything. We don't feel like we're worthy of God's love. We don't feel like God can use us. We don't feel like He glances His eyes on us. But I want to tell you this morning, as believers in Jesus Christ, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth to see whom He might stop and glance and strengthen. God's introduction into Mary's life song was one that was preparing her for the most amazing thing. Can I just tell you, every one of us have an introduction. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've been with, God can use that. What Satan intends for harm, God is using for His greatness as an introduction to His song in your life. Man, I want you to get that this Christmas, because everyone, and we don't need to be afraid of. The angel said, Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Can I just tell you, you are highly favored to God. You are the object of His affection. You are the object. We just sang about it. Love came down. Why? Because of you. Because of me. God came down because He loves us. And He says, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call His name Jesus. And He goes on. But here's what I want you to pay a particular attention to. If we can go to verse 38. God, right before that, said, nothing is impossible with me. Nothing. You put your name in there, Jay. Nothing is impossible for me. You're not impossible for me. I'm a big God, and I got big plans for you. And God has plans for every one of us, and that is to instill His song within our hearts. God is up to something in your life. You hear what I said? It's getting quiet in here. Y'all got to help me out a little bit. I mean, I got on a loud shirt. I need y'all to get loud with me, okay? God is up to something in your life. You may not see it. You may not recognize it. You may not want it. But God never sleeps, nor does He slumber, and He's looking out for His kids. He's wanting to plant His life song within you so that your life produces a song that brings glory to Him. And every one of us have an introduction. Every one of us has those things in our lives that God has been preparing. I was talking to people this week. I was actually bragging on you, the church, with several people. I grew up in Weatherford, Texas, and I did a funeral this week down there for was one of our band moms. And people, they look at me and they said, you're doing what now? Those people that knew me back in the day, you're a preacher? Where do you pastor at? And I said, well, it's called Connect Church. And I began to brag on you. But see, God had taken all that stuff that I was involved in before as an introduction to where He's wanting me to go. I would have never in my life imagined He could take all those things, all those tough times, all those negative times, all those sinful times to bring me where I am today. And I want you to know, God knows everything that you've done. He knows everywhere that you've been, and He still wants to write a song in your heart. And He did in Elizabeth's heart. And I want you to look. He says, this is what Mary responded. May it be done to me according to your word. She says, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. Man, what would it look like for you today, for me? It's when God really impresses the fact that He loves you and He's got a purpose for you and a plan for you and to do great things in and through you, and you were to say, okay, God, I'm yours. Do what you want to do. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, here am I. Send me. See, we live in a society now and says, okay, here am I, God, send them. Send Brother David, send Brother Aleem, send Carl and the team ahead. You know, send them. God, speak to them. But God wants to speak to you. God wants to minister in your heart. Now, I want you to know this, that Mary didn't fully comprehend what God was up to, but she fully stepped out in faith. Will you? This Christmas, as God begins to reveal His story, your story and His story in you, are you willing to step out fully in faith, even though you don't fully comprehend? Peter didn't know when he stepped out of the boat, did he? He just simply kept his focus on Jesus and says, if you want me to come to you. And he started walking on the water. Some of us today need to take that first step as we continue our introductory phase of our songs. We need to say, okay, God, I don't really fully understand what you're trying to do. I don't get it. But I want to get you. I want to get all of you, God, and I'm going to step out fully in faith. So the introduction is important in any song because it lays out the elements. And God is establishing those elements of his song right now in you. Whatever you've been, he knows all of that. But I like verses 46 through 45. Because when the song comes on, we usually recognize what it's about to sing, and then we get into the verses. And most songs, well, I say that, this day, sometimes they just have the same verse over and over. But most songs contain several verses that begin to tell a story. And in the Magnificat, we see two verses that show that. A stanza is music, a verse is word. Both together come and make a song. And the first verses we see, this first verse, we see a focus on God's mercy. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 50. And I kind of want to walk us through that. God's mercy. You know what mercy is? It's God saying, you deserve that, but I'm not going to give it to you. You deserve punishment and separation, but I'm not going to give that to you. I'm going to give you salvation and restoration. I'm going to give you love and joy and peace. See, Mary was focused, and we see that this focus of these verses is God's mercy, withholding what we deserve, and God's grace, his blessings for what we don't deserve. He goes, no, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to do this. Mercy is withholding judgment. Grace is blessing in its place. And we see that in Mary. And Mary, right up front, she talks about God's mercy and his greatness. Luke 1:46. My soul proclaims the greatness of me. You ever looked at just recent? We are in a me generation, aren't we? We're in a me society. We are all, just look at your neighbor and say, I'm a me monster. Let's be real. We're the church. Just say it. I'm a me monster. I'll confess it to you. If I go on your Facebook, who are most of the pictures of? You know, we like seeing us. I was riding my motorcycle the other day, and I was going down the road, and there was one of these guys in one of these what I call rice rockets, and he was popping wheelies, but all the time he's looking around to see who's watching him. He wanted the focus to be him. And listen, I want you to know that God's song, when it's placed in you, the focus of the song is God's grace and God's mercy and God's greatness. And we see that in the first verse. He said, my soul, everything that I am, proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Let me ask you, does your life song say that? If not, why not? We see in verse 47, Mary's song acknowledged the greatness of God, but also it acknowledged her need of a Savior. Look what it says. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Don't take that lightly. Don't look past the deep truth of that statement. Mary acknowledged her need for a Savior. She knew that she was lost and needed to be found. She knew that she was living a world that wasn't intended for her, and she needed a Savior to rescue her from that. I have to tell you, you can't really understand the joy of the Lord and the love of the Lord until you come to a point to acknowledge that he is our Savior and we're in need of a Savior. God, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And we see that Mary acknowledged the greatness of God, but she acknowledged her need of a Savior. I think really what happens is at Christmas time for me is just kind of recalibrating and saying, and remember who God is. And automatically when I start thinking about who he is and all that he's done, I look and say, oh, I'm not all that and then some. I'm in need of a Savior. You're in need of a Savior. Have you met the Savior? Have you had an encounter with the Savior? Mary also acknowledged her condition. You see, when you acknowledge a Savior, you can't help but acknowledge your condition. Look what she said in the first part of verse 48. He, God, has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. The humble position of his servant. We see here that when she recognized the greatness of God, she recognized she needed rescuing, and she acknowledged the fact of where she was and that she was a servant, that she needed his help. Mary acknowledged her condition. What is that condition? Unworthy of God's blessings. Romans says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what does that tell you? We all are in need of God's blessings. We are all unworthy, but we need God as Savior. She acknowledged her condition. She also acknowledged that God's desire was to change her status. Do you know that God wants to change your status from sinner to servant? From sinner to free? From bound, no longer bound, to walking free, being in chains and unleashed from those and being in chains for... God wants to change your status. Lost without hope to being found with all the hope that's possible. God sees us and he wants to bless us, but we have to acknowledge that we're unworthy of that. She acknowledged that she was unworthy, but she also acknowledged that God had a desire to change her status. Again, I want you to think of your status this morning. There's no need, if you're outside the will of God, for you to stay in that status. In fact, that'd be ludicrous, right? Can you imagine if you were suddenly thrust into the county jail and they opened the door and said, you're free to go, and you stayed right where you're at? That we would all think that's just crazy, right? See, we were all bound, and Jesus Christ opened the door and said, you're free in me. Why won't we walk out? Why don't we change our status from being bound to being loosed? What would happen if Connect Church got loose? What would happen in your life if you got loose? I tell you what, I'm free, I'm no longer there, I'm here, God, you can use me. I think we get a little excited about that. We ought to be the most excited people on the face of the earth because we were incarcerated and we've been set free. Man, I tell you what, I don't know how we can keep that quiet. I'm shouting to the neighborhood and everybody, I've been set free, I ain't in there no more. Yeah, it is right. Amen. I like that section back there. Keep it coming. I might get as excited as this shirt is. I'll tell you that. She also acknowledged that God's blessings. Look what he says here. She says, the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. I love how Pastor David and Pastor Aleem kind of challenges. Has God done anything good for you? Has God done anything good for you that should result in a hallelujah or an amen or thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. All you got to do is look to the manger and see he's done something good. He became man so that you could understand the love of God for us. He became like us so that we could understand him. And we ought to be excited. And she acknowledged, God has done great things for me, and his name is holy. And even though he knew her, Mary acknowledged, even though he knew probably her thoughts and her plans. Can you imagine a 13, 14-year-old girl back in the day? She had plans. She wanted to have she didn't want to have a shotgun wedding. She wanted to wear white, and she wanted to be able to, you know, they had a, you go back and look at Jewish tradition and weddings, and she wasn't going to get that. Oh, but God blessed her more than that, because one day she has now been coupled with the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and her groom, the Savior. Oh, go back in Revelation. She's going to be dressed in white. That's going to be one party she'll never forget for eternity. She acknowledged that God's mercy and grace is available to anyone. His mercy is from generation to generation. Listen, we were talking about that, my brother and I, and I was talking with some folks this morning, how my generation seems to be different from older generations and even younger generations. But can I tell you, God is not generation prejudice. I don't care if you're a millennial or whatever it is before that, and an X and a Y and a B and old as dirt. God's mercy and his love, he proved on Calvary and in the manger for you. He wants you to have his blessings. Man, that ought to change our life to think that God wants to bless you. God's not sitting up there with a hammer saying, I think I'll just bop Jay McFadden on the head. Oh, sometimes he uses a two before, amen? Am I the only one? God's mercy is from generation. His grace is available to anyone, the undeserving, the overwhelmed, the unimpressive, the needy, the flawed, the ones who haven't earned anything but judgment. If they will acknowledge him as Savior, Jesus will change their status. Let me ask you, has your status been changed? That's just the first verse of a great song. You need to acknowledge, what's he been doing in your life? Go back and look at what he's been doing in your life. Now see where the verses, where is he trying to exalt himself through your life? Second verse, 51 through 55. Mary begins to focus on God's power. The power to change lives. Look what she says in verse 51 to 52. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. I wouldn't want to arm wrestle God, but we sure try, don't we? He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones. Mary's song acknowledged God's power to humble the proud. You can't be haughty and be in the presence of God. God humbles the exalted, and he exalts the humble. He has the power to do that. And Mary's song acknowledged God's power to humble the proud. He's got the power. He also exalted the lowly. She says, God has exalted the lowly. And she acknowledged that God not only has the power to humble those who've got a haughty spirit or a proud spirit, he has the power to lift those of us who don't feel like we deserve a thing, that why would he even consider us? God's power can change a life to become powerful. Every one of us, if we'll surrender to Jesus Christ, we become powerful, and we become powerful enemies of the enemy. You know that Satan is scared of a powerful Christian. Satan is scared with those who are turned to God and focused on him, thankful to him, acknowledging him in every way, through their lives, through their actions, through their words. Satan is scared to death of those kind of Christians. The reason sometimes we don't experience the power of God, because we're worried about that piddly power that Satan has. My God is greater. My God is powerful. My God can beat anybody else's dad. You know, we used to say that as a kid. Yeah. Mary's song acknowledged also that only through God can true satisfaction be found. One of the things about Christmas is we think by getting that next greatest thing, it's going to bring us satisfaction. Any of that work for you ever? I'll tell you a little story. My daughter, who goes to another church, her and her husband and family, they called and said, hey, we'd really like to see Uncle Mike, and we'd like to come over. Well, the story changed by the time they said that. By the time they got there, they said, hey, Bradley and I would like to go shopping. Can you and Uncle Mike watch the kids for 3 hours? So we did what all opas and great uncles do. We went to the store and bought toys. And you know, before the end of the night, Amelia, she is a pistol. She's not even three. She destroyed the stuff we got her. It didn't last. And that's what happens when we are focused on the temporary things instead of the eternal things. See, Christmas time is a way for us to really be thankful for the only things that will last, the only thing that will satisfy. You know, this Christmas, I'm with Pastor Aline. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I like it because of the football, I'm going to be honest. The food, amen to food. I love turkey. I love turkey sandwiches. I like turkey pot pie with all the stuff you can't use anymore. I like the food and the fellowship and just sitting around and enjoying company with good friends and family. But you know, every time that I eat a Thanksgiving meal, there's something incredible that happens. About 3 hours later, I get hungry again. All this candy that's floating around, that's coming, you know, people don't want it anymore. They bring it to the church, you know. They give the gift that keeps on giving. It's called a fruitcake. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I said, I promise you. So next time you get a fruitcake, etch your name on the bottom of it. Watch when it comes back around. It always comes back around. And all that stuff never satisfies, does it? It never satisfies. We'll eat good. We'll have a lot of good time. But then we get up in the morning and we're starving to death, right? She says that God, only through God, can satisfaction be found. Here's what she says. He has helped his servant Israel, children of God, mindful of his mercy. Now, that's important. those who are mindful of his mercy, who they are, who he is, what they deserve, what they didn't get, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants. Underline this word, forever. Man, wouldn't it be great to take a pill and be satisfied, never have to eat it, never have to eat out again? Say, like, wait, that's my recreation. But he says he satisfies forever. No matter what toy breaks, he satisfies forever. No matter what meal that you've eaten, he satisfies forever. No matter what you've been trying to get through relationships and activities and promotions and all this stuff, Jesus Christ can satisfy forever. All that other stuff won't last. None of it. And get a car and keep it polished and without water spots and not being your friends. And one day that car, I'm not going to be able to take it with me. Mary's song acknowledged that only through God can satisfaction be found. Mary's song acknowledged God's power to not only fulfill his prophecies, but also to fulfill his promises. God is good, y'all. The promise that was prophesied came true when the baby was sent, when the baby was born. Now, at the end of every song, kind of right in the middle, it just, there's some things that repeat themselves, and it's the main focus. It's called the chorus. In the midst of any good song, they repeat the chorus. They repeat the chorus because they want you to understand what they're trying to say. Old hymns were like that. You'd re-sing the chorus. The songs today are like that. You sing the chorus. The chorus is the big payoff. It's the magnum opus of the song. It's the climax of the song from which the title is usually taken. Somewhere within that chorus, usually the title is taken, and it's repeated several times. It's the main theme. Let me ask you this Christmas. What's your main theme? What's your life song's main theme? Is it me, 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 me? Or is it God and others? You see, at Christmas time, we need to understand that it's not about us. It's never been about us. It's about God, and it's about relaying that love to others. That's Christianity 101. The chorus is that. It's repeated. And Mary's chorus, her song, her anthem, which should be our anthem, our song, our verse, our chorus, acknowledge the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and the glory of God. I wonder when people hear your life song, and now it's like videos, they can see your life song. What song are they hearing? What song this Christmas are they hearing? Are we making it about ourselves, or are we going to make it about God? Are we going to make it about ourselves, or are we going to really truly acknowledge who Jesus Christ is? I want to close in a couple of ways. First off, I want you to know this. I really feel like God would have me tell you this. That no matter who you are, I don't care who you are. He doesn't care. He does care. He knows you. But he says, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, think about that. God wants you to hear his Christmas song in you. God loves you. God proved his love for you. God wants to change your sad state of affairs to a new status of freedom. He sent his son to reveal that love to you. And today he invites you for you to give your life to him so you can experience the life he wants for you. This year as we celebrate Christmas, I hope you're singing from the right playlist. I hope you're singing from the right playlist. And we live as Christians in a really difficult time now. Anytime you mention the name of Jesus Christ, they want to edit it out. Can I just tell you, Jesus Christ cannot be edited out in the heart songs of his people. No matter what, we continue to sing his praises. The playlist, like we'll talk about in a couple of weeks with the angel song, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. We join the angels when we have experienced Jesus Christ. Zechariah had an encounter with God. He sang his praises. Mary had an encounter with God through the angel, and she sang his praises. As we look at the next 2 weeks and culminating on Christmas Eve, we're going to see that when you have an encounter with Jesus, there's a song that's produced that cannot be edited and must be sung. I want to close today with a video. And I just want to pray first before we show the video. And I'm just going to ask you, everyone, to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. And I want you to contemplate your song. Your song. What does your life song reveal? Whose story is it telling? What does God want to change? What's your status that He wants to change in you? God, I pray. Oh, I thank You in advance. Your word doesn't return unto You void. It never does. It accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent forth. So this morning, God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus and Holy Spirit, with Your power, I pray You would begin to sweep across the chords of our hearts. See if we're out of tune or in tune. See if we've got the song or don't have the song. And I pray You would do Your work. I pray we would hear Your invitation to sing. And the reason that we sing. And I pray, God, You'd use this video to touch our hearts. And if there's things that need to be done today, during this song, the people would step out of their seats and come to the front. And Lord, just consider it an altar where they put those things on the altar that they need to put behind them and look forward to the future. Maybe it's a prayer that, God, You would begin to use them more than they ever thought imaginable. Maybe it's to lay down the fear that doesn't come from You, God, to step out in faith and engage You fully. Lord, whatever it may be, I pray You would just use this time to speak to Your heart, to the hearts of Your people.